10 years ago, in 2013, I was on American Horror Story Coven. I played one of Kathy Bates' Madame LaLaurie's daughters, and I had two sisters. We were the LaLaurie daughters. And the three of us haven't been together in the same room since then, in 10 years. So for this episode of the podcast, I'm talking with Ashlyn and Jennifer, and we're catching up on life, talking about our memories from the show, and everything we've learned about the wild world of showbiz in the years since then. Older and wiser, right? Consider it a family reunion, if you will, without our mom. What year was it that we started doing American Horror Story? Has it been 10 years or almost 10 years, right?
I think it has been 10 years. I think it was 2012.
You know, I feel like I'm really old because like I'm at the point in my life where I can't remember like what year something happened, you know, like I was thinking it was 2014, but you know, I could be mistaken about that as well. Maybe it's 2013. What do you think, Jennifer?
I think it was 2012.
Maybe it's been 10 years then. So this is our 10-year family reunion.
Yay! My sister.
Okay, so going back to the very beginning, I remember my audition was that I actually auditioned for the character that I ended up playing. Did you guys audition? Did we all audition for the same character or did we audition for the characters we did?
I auditioned for a Salem witch on trial, something that was not even in the script. So my character was not, yeah.
No, I think we all, like, that was all of our title, but, like, the scene that I read eventually in the show was for Pauline.
Oh, my scene was not in the show ever.
Did you go in person or did you tape, Jennifer?
I went in person for Megan Lewis.
I did too. I think Ashlyn did too. I know more about what Ashlyn did because we were roommates at the time, which was like probably the most unbelievable thing. Like, I don't know. What are the odds that we're just like two roommates just, you know, going out for this show and then we end up playing sisters? I think we got the call maybe probably on the same day, but we had different agents.
I don't remember who got the call first, though, but I feel like we both got it within like an hour of each other.
Yeah.
And then we were like, ah, oh my God, we're sisters and we're roommates. Yay.
Kind of a cool thing on my end to note is I love the title of your podcast, Diary of a Pretender. And we're kind of fake in this until we figure shit out. And I had quit acting that month. Like I was done. I was on a movie. I was not producing, but I was working under producer to learn to produce because I was just done with auditions and done with everything. And when I got the audition, I turned it down. And then my agent was like, Megan asked for you specifically, can you please just go to the audition. And so I went in the middle of a work day in like rain boots without my hair done, without my makeup done, went in, did it and like left. And I was like, so I was probably the most unfriendly I've ever been in an audition because Megan was like, hey, how are you? I'm like, I'm good. I got to get back to work. So let's do this.
That's when it always seems to work out, right?
Yeah. I was going to say that when you're like, you're not worried about getting the role or you're just like, okay, I'm gonna go in, read my lines and leave. Like that's when you get the part, I feel like.
Even when I booked it, I was just like, how many days is it? Fine.
That's the other thing that I was thinking about, like when I'm sure it was the same for all of us that whenever we booked these roles, it was like, wow, this is awesome. I'm playing Kathy Bates' daughter, but it's gonna like we only had that one scene together in the first episode. And then I had a few lines and that was like, as far as we knew, that was it. Like there was no like multi-episode arc that was planned or told to us in the beginning. So it was just like, eh.
And don't forget, I didn't even have lines.
They killed us in the second episode. We were dead and hanging. So we're like, All right, we're dead. We're going home. Cool.
Yes, I remember like when I found out that we were getting killed, I was like, well, of course, we're going to get killed on episode two. Like we couldn't ride this out. And then it was like a total surprise when they were like, oh yeah, this is American Horror Story. We kill people and bring them back and do whatever.
And then they killed us again and then brought us back again. So
How cool in episode one that we were actually shooting in like an 1800s museum.
It was. And I remember that there, it was like extremely hot and they had one of those like air tunnel things that they were just like primarily just pointing it on Kathy. And like, we were just sweating our asses off with like this huge dresses and all of that stuff. And we couldn't breathe because we were wearing the like.
We had corsets. We had basically a blanket underneath our dresses, like whatever. What was that called? I don't even, like a petticoat?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a huge, like a duvet underneath our dresses. So yeah, that was hot.
You remember we went down that one day and did zombie training like outside?
Oh my gosh.
Outside, just like, there's that picture of us like with our arms linked and we're like, you know, like, yeah. I wanted to know if you guys had this same feeling. I feel like it was back then, being that it was 10 years ago, I felt like pretty inexperienced whenever I showed up there for like what was actually like a huge opportunity. And even on that first episode, I felt like I had ideas about choices I wanted to try and like things that I wanted to try, but I didn't feel like, I didn't know if I was allowed to. So I was like, I had like kind of a timid like spirit about myself as an actor. I didn't feel like, you know, I don't want to make any waves or do anything that somebody doesn't want me to do. And looking back, I wish that I had done more because I didn't realize that it was being written as we go and that they're like literally making decisions about who was going to be on it as we go. And then I just show up and I'm like, yeah. And then I just like do everything regular. Like, look, I would have done things differently.
It was definitely very intimidating. I mean, it's a huge show. What was it? Season 3. So it's already been established. Everyone, they brought back all of the big stars. And then there's little old us like, oh, hey, we're just here. And then I didn't even have any lines. So I was just like, I gotta be very posh. And I need to just look like I belong here.
What about you, Jennifer?
I had the advantage of the fact that I had been in season 2, and it was just for a day. But I had, I kind of knew some of the people there, and so when I went to lunch on the first day, I sat with the writers because Brad Falchuk was there, and I was like, "Oh, I'm going to go sit with Brad because he's, you know, also one of the executive producers." And we started talking and he asked me what kind of stuff I like to do. And I told him, I like being a physical actor. I like getting beat up. I like things like that. And next thing you know, we're in zombie school. So he, like, you never know. And then I had like that huge scene where like I'm getting beaten up and I'm knocking down doors and things like that. And you're like, you never know what you say to somebody on set that might get their, they're like, oh, we can beat this actress up. Let's throw her in the, you know, have her come back and all that other stuff. But my most intimidating one that I was scared of was episode 5 when we were zombies and I had to choke Kathy. And they were like, oh, go more. Like really, you're going to choke her. And I'm like, no, national treasure.
Well, I don't know if everyone recalls in episode 1 when Kathy actually hit me in the face, or you guys maybe weren't. I don't know if you were still on set
because it was. I remember that too.
I remember that. Yeah.
The day ended after that because she hit me in the face actually and didn't tell me she was going to do it. And then I just took it like a man, I guess. I was like, sure, don't worry about it. And then the next take after that, when they turned around on her or something, when she did the slap, she hit the camera with her hand and then she like fell out on the couch and the day was over after that. They were like, that's it. And then everyone made a big deal out of her slapping me. And they were like, oh, you can tell everyone now that you got slapped in the face by Kathy Bates. That's so cool. And I was like, yeah, I guess that's really cool.
Was it on purpose or was it like an act? Like, did she hit you that hard on purpose or was she like just going to hit you and then she accidentally like put a little more force into it?
No, it was on purpose. It was totally intentional because And it was on her coverage when she did that. I was not even on camera. She was doing it for her, you know, for her own performance. But, you know, I wasn't upset about it, but I wasn't expecting it either. You know, I had worked with other, you know, like huge actors. I worked with Forest Whitaker before that, but I never had someone who worked that way that would just slap you in the face and surprise you. So I guess it was an experience.
I should have just went in and strangled her, just like gone for it.
She probably would have like admired that, honestly, if you had choked her out.
Were you guys there the day we realized they didn't put the pinholes in our contacts and so that we were completely blind?
I didn't know they were supposed to put pinholes.
I didn't know that either, but I do know we were blind.
Yeah, because I remember they put them in, and I remember Chris Nelson was there, and I was like, Chris, I can't see anything. And he's like, can you see this? And I'm like, no, I'm literally blind. And he has me put my hands on his shoulders and he walks me to set, which should have been someone's first clue, like that I'm like literally on like our makeup guys, like, and the director was like, can you turn the camera left? And I'm like, thinking someone would have told the director. I've told everyone so far, like, I can't see. And I'm like, I don't know where the camera is. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I can't see. They're like, can you see this? I'm like, nope, I'm completely blind.
Well, when we were on the stage where they had built the house and we were doing that one where we like come up to the door and she opens it and sees us, I remember we were blind that day. And then they allowed us to take one of the white contacts out. So we had one white and one that wasn't, and they digitally did the other one. I think that's the way we did it the rest of the time that we were zombies.
Whoever made the contacts didn't send on the info. Because what they do is they usually put this pinhole in it so you can still wear them, but you can still, I mean, your vision's not great, but you can still see out of them. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's supposed to be done.
I just remember like they numbed our eyes before putting the contacts in. And then the way the contacts looked, like with the contacts in, it was like looking at something with your eyes closed. Like you can see the light, but you can't see anything. And our eyes were numbed, so I couldn't even tell if my eyes were open half of the time. And I had to ask them every now and then, like, are my eyes still open? I can't tell if my eyes are open or not. And they're like, yeah, your eyes are open. It's like, okay, good.
That's so stupid.
Because you're like, this is such a big show, and it's Ryan Murphy and Jessica Lange. You'd think they'd have their shit together. And they're just like, all this stuff. Like the door that I break down, the reason why that doesn't look good is they forgot to put the stunt door on it. And so when I was like, I'm one of those girls that if someone calls weak, I get very offended. Not so much anymore, but definitely 10 years ago, I was like, I'll show you how strong I am. I was doing P90X, girl. I was like ready. And so like, I'm trying to beat down the door. And like, I could hear them on the other side, like harder, harder. I'm like, this door is not breaking. I don't know what's going on. And then I heard someone, I don't know who it was, go, maybe she's not strong enough. And I was like, can I have one more go? And they're like, sure. And I hit that door so hard with that candlestick, I broke the candlestick. So they were mad because they had no double. And I broke like a real candlestick. I don't know if it was and antique or not, I broke it and I broke that door down.
You were like, so I'm breaking
broke
this door down.
The actual door in the house. And I went through finally and got through. And they're like, well, I guess that's the take we have. And then I hear, we didn't put the stunt door on.
Well, and good job.
I was like, fuck you, Toby. That's strong enough.
I will call you if I ever lock myself out.
That's crazy. I remember. You got to do the fun scene too that we were not in, where you got to go through the, you know, the little eyeball bowl and the little brains bowl and all of that. Did they put real eyeballs in the bowl because they forgot to put the stunt eyeballs?
Oh God, I hope not.
So the zombie stuff was like our most, you know, that's what we're doing for most of the time, is either zombies. And then in episode 12, we were not zombies. We were just tortured and fucked up, which that was funny too, because I remember on episode 12, when we came in, they didn't have, because for all of our zombie stuff, they had done the life cast on each of us and made real prosthetics that were made for each of us to go on our faces and stuff. But for episode 12, they were like, well, we're just going to throw whatever we have lying around on these three girls and we'll just see what happens. So they were reusing the prosthetics that they had already used. So Ashlyn, yours was the face peeled off that an extra had already worn in another episode.
It did not fit.
I didn't have any prosthetic.
No, it was just me and you.
Yes, and they were saying, like, one of you is going to have your mouth sewn shut. And I was like, please don't let it be me. Please don't let it be me. And they were like, all right, Raiden, you're going to have your mouth sewn shut. I was like, fuck.
Oh, I told them I cannot have my mouth sewn shut because my anxiety is going to go crazy. And then I'm going to need to throw up. And then I'm not going to be able to throw up because my mouth is going to be I was like, no, I cannot. I cannot do that, please. And then they were like, all right, here you go, Raiden. So sorry.
Yeah.
I kind of wish it had been me. Like, I wish they would have just had the scene where, like, I get locked in the cage and then started sewing my mouth shut. Because then when I got thrown into purgatory with, and then Angela Bassett's character was there, when she shoves that cup into my mouth, she didn't tell me she was going to do that, first of all. And second of all, it was full of poisonous paint. And third of all, she cracked my tooth. Like, she just, like, into it. And I didn't know it was cracked until I went to the dentist a couple of months later where they're, you're like, your tooth is cracked. Did anything happen? And I was like, well, it's too late to workman's comp now. So I don't know which is worse, Kathy's slap or me getting, you know, but all of a sudden I hear probably the props guy in the back going, don't drink that. It's poison.
Yeah, they could have just put, like, literally something edible with red food coloring in it. Why would you have to put poisonous paint?
Well, it's because they pour it into the cup and it's supposed to be, like, part of, like, Kathy's blood or my blood or someone's blood, you know, that they're draining. And so they want it to look, like, scary. And then she just like, I'm just going to feed it to this poor actress.
Oh, okay. So when we did the zombie thing and we were actual zombies, that was like the most intensive. That was the most time that we spent in any one episode was doing the zombie stuff. And I wanted to know if you guys remembered when we were outside doing that huge scene where all the zombies are like coming in on the house and they had bought out everybody in the neighborhood to go stay at a hotel. Yes. Except for the guy who lived in the house directly next door. And he came outside.
He was so mad. Like, he knew this was going to happen. And he comes outside and he's like, can you be quiet or something like that? And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like, you should have taken the hotel, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I have never seen something like that in my life. He, like, literally silenced 100 people that were standing out there, like, the entire crew, all the extras, everybody just dead silent while this man just fucking reamed us out and screamed through the whole neighborhood.
Wasn't he in his robe, too? Like, didn't he come out in his robe? And, yeah, that was so, oh, man, that was funny.
And then there was like no response. Like, he did this whole like screaming fit tantrum. No one said anything. And then he just walked back inside. And then they were like, all right, here we go. And we just kept going. Like, nothing was accomplished. Nothing was changed. Just some guy came out there and screamed at us like a lunatic and then went back in his house.
I feel like locations had to have gone over and talked to him after that, because you don't want him coming out over and over and over again, because then what happens is like they'll start playing their radio or like they'll turn on their lawnmower to like mess up your shots and things like that.
You've so seen that happen?
Absolutely. Yes. And then neighbors will do that intentionally. I was working because I've done a lot of behind the scenes work too. And I was working as a production coordinator and we were working in this neighborhood in like Beverly Hills adjacent. And we had gotten all the permits and we put up all the no parking signs over the weekend because starting Monday morning, we were going to drop the trucks and we were shooting. Well, one irate neighbor on Sunday night probably went through and took down all of our signs. Which, by the way, those signs are put up by the city. They're not actually put up by the crew. So you get the permit through the city. the city puts those signs up. And so it's like a probably at least a misdemeanor to take them down, if not worse. And we show up and there's all these cars in the neighborhood. And I and my locations person's like, I've got to call the tow truck. We've got to start towing.
I just start knocking on neighbors' doors.
And I'm like, we're towing. Like, that's your car. You got to move it. And I didn't even stay for an explanation. I just started running from door to door. Like, knock because I'm like, these people are going to get their cars towed. Because one neighbor decided to be an asshole. Even though everyone else signed off said it was okay. Because location has to get a sign off. Like, I think it's like 80%. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. Like, neighbors saying it's okay to be allowed to shoot somewhere. But yeah. Yeah, people will turn on their lawnmowers because they want to pay off, because they know that someone will come over with a couple hundred dollars and be like, here's $300 if you don't mow your lawn for the rest of the day. Like, that's a very common thing that happens.
I'm going to write this down, so just next time someone films next to me.
We've had people go, well, we'll be quiet, but we want to come over for lunch, or, you know, things like that, because they know that, you know, Crafty and Catering is going to be there. And usually they'll say, yeah, sure.
And they might see someone famous if they crash the lunch.
That's what they're hoping for. Yeah.
Ashlyn, you were on the next season of American Horror Story, weren't you?
Yeah, I was on Freak Show. So they brought me, or Megan Lewis brought me back, and I was so happy about that. I think you had moved by that time. So neither of you were still in the state. So they brought me back, and then I got the role, and I worked on two episodes of Freak Show. And I played a housewife, and then they killed me again. So I died a lot in American Horror Story, and I'm pretty proud of that.
And Jennifer, you said you were on season two.
I was. So I was Wendy's body double when Zachary Quinto's character takes her out of the freezer and rapes her.
Oh.
And that was head to toe corpse makeup. So I was like, it took about 4 hours to do that makeup. And so I am naked in the trailer with Chris and Mike, who did our makeup for American Horror Story, just very intimately, you know, turning me into a corpse, and then in going and getting my dead body raped, which is a really weird scene as an actor, because it's literally like the least resistance I could possibly have to someone violating my body. You know,
welcome to American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Trauma Express.
But Zach was great to work with. And then I remember the director for that episode was the same director for the first episode on season three. And when I saw him again, he's like, yeah, I remembered you. I knew if we could do that to you in season two, I could do whatever I want to you in season three. And I'm like, you're not wrong.
No.
Being easy to exploit is a, you know, a great quality for an actor. Yeah.
Big plus in this business.
Well, I remember when I went back for Freak Show and I did that first episode with Evan as Lobster Boy, and I, you know, had to pretend like he was doing the stuff. Ryan Murphy directed that episode. And while we were doing that scene, he turned and told somebody, like, this is the most fucked up thing we've ever done on any season of American Horror Story. And in my mind, I'm like, this isn't even like that bad. Like, how is this out of every season the most fucked up thing?
So he was molesting you with a lobster claw?
He wasn't molesting me. Like, I was enjoying it. I went there for a reason. Like, that's why I was at the house party.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so it was like our little house party, and he was the guy in the back that we all just like took our little turns and went to the back, and I was all like, oh, I'm so nervous, and all the other housewives are like, girl, it's gonna be fine, you're gonna love it. I'm like, okay.
And she did.
And I did.
That is pretty fucked up now that you explained it like that.
Yeah.
All the women go to get lobster fucked.
I had like 4 pairs of underwear on, like, I had so much underneath that, like, there was nothing Evan could even, like, get close to. So his hands were under my skirt, but I had so much under there that it was fine. It was fine.
Was this before intimacy coordinators were a thing?
I didn't have an intimacy coordinator, so that would have been cool. No, I mean, we just talked about it, and he was like, "I'm not gonna touch you." Like, I was like, "I didn't think you were gonna touch me. It's fine. Like, if you accidentally like brush something, I'm not gonna blame you. It's okay." Like, but no, everything was fine.
And he's got third claws. How do you even know if you accidentally hit something?
I know, right? And like, they had the shot of like just his lobster hand going up my skirt. Like, that was just one shot. And so I was kind of nervous about that one, but everything was fine. And I have fun. So I didn't like my parents seeing that scene, but that's okay. That's okay. They knew I was acting.
So I'm the only person who's not in the multi-season club here.
It's still going on.
The show's still on.
I just saw a billboard for the next season. Yeah.
So is it possible that we could ever be brought back as a trio again?
Oh.
Because people loved our characters.
They did?
Really?
What I was confused by, like, did you guys turn down conventions or were you not offered conventions? Because I did conventions for like 3 years.
Yeah, I remember that. Constantly. I was never offered one, no.
So what did you do at the conventions? You were like signing autographs and stuff? And
yeah, I mean, it's fun depending on the convention, but it's a lot of repeating the same story over and over again. And the one question everyone asks, how is Kathy Bates? How's Kathy Bates to work with? What's Kathy Bates like? And it's like, I'm not Kathy Bates, but she was great. And you kind of got to a point where you just wanted to be like, oh, she was awful. She's terrible. She's demon. Just to talk about something different.
Yeah.
And it's like, at first you're like all excited. You're like, oh, people want to meet me. They love my work. And then you realize, they don't know me. They don't care about me. I'm just happen to be part of something that they love. And so I'm the closest they can get to that in that moment. And then you're just like, okay, it's still cool. I'm still getting a free trip. And I got to see some parts of the US that I'd never seen before. And I was making decent money and I didn't have to get like a real job again for a while. So it was great. I highly recommend them for sure. Like, oh, do you want to make, you know, they give you a guarantee, like we guarantee you'll make like $500 or $1,000. And if you don't make it, they match it. They'll like do whatever. But you usually do like even more. And then it's tiring because they usually fly you in Friday. You're there all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and you fly you out Monday. But then I got smart and I was like, I'm going to fly out Wednesday. And I'll just pay for my own hotel room for like another 2 days and then just stay and actually see the city. Cause it was a lot after a while. You're just like, I'm just living on airplanes. This sucks.
And then talking to people who just want to know about Kathy Bates and they don't give a shit about you anyway.
Yeah. Three Spirit Nightcap is the perfect drink for winding down. Powered by plants, it's a delicious guilt-free alternative to alcohol. I like mine on the rocks with a few drops of orange bitters. My listeners can use code PRETENDER for 15% off any Three Spirit order. That's code PRETENDER for 15% off. Delicious.
I had lines in, I think, the second episode, or when we were in the bedroom, I had like one line. And then, yeah, it was the last episode and we went out and we got trashed. And I showed up and I was like still feeling it. And then I get my sides and I was like, what? I have lines? And it was against Kathy too. So I was like, oh God, she's going to be able to like smell the alcohol on me from last night. She's going to think I'm the most unprofessional person in the entire world. I felt so bad. And then like looking at that scene, every time I watch that scene, I just laugh. Cause I'm like, I'm pretty sure I was still drunk.
See, that's what I mean. Like we were just doing dumb shit like that. And then like, you know, I have all these pictures of us like, or I have that one picture of us dressed as zombies and you and me are just like smoking a cigarette. Just like,
I love that photo so much.
Oh yeah. I feel like we have a lot of photos of that. Yeah.
I haven't worked on an actual, like real set on a job, like since 2019, I guess. I did an episode of, NCIS New Orleans. And I didn't smoke. I was totally, well, I don't smoke anymore, but I was like, you know, totally just a normal person showing up to their job. And I was like, this is how I, you know, want to conduct my life. Now, back then, 10 years ago, I was 24 and I was just, you know, living it up. Wasted on
well,
me.
I'm also at least 10 years older than you guys.
Yeah.
So you were already settled by the time you came along.
Yeah, I was already settled. I was already
you were probably like, look at these girls. These girls need to get their shit together.
That's why you were like, when you said that you went and you were talking to the writer at lunch or whatever, like, that's smart. And like, back then, I didn't look at that, you know, I was just like, you know, I'm here to eat, I'm here to do my job, and whatever happens is what happens. But I think that's something that, you know, you learn as you become smarter, hopefully, in your life.
The last thing I did was in 2016, and it was, I worked on Criminal Minds, and it was the first thing I had ever done in California. Yeah. Oh, me and Jennifer both read for that part, and I beat you.
Well, I'm such a large, like, person. I'm like, I'm not right for this role. And then, but I'm going to read for Lisa's and Betty anyway. And then I saw you there and I'm like, oh my God, if she doesn't get this, it's criminal. She's fucking.
No. And you kept saying that too. You were like, you're going to get this part. Like, I know you're going to get
it. I knew it in my bones. I'm like, it's her. And then you booked it. And I'm like,
you're like, yay, I knew it. But yeah, that was my first job out here. And like, not being from California, I didn't really understand a lot of California stuff. So we were out, like, not in the desert, but it was very just like dirt and like dry grass and stuff. And I was trying to smoke cigarettes and all these people were like bringing me water bottles and like, don't smoke out here. And I was like, why? I'm just smoking. And they're like, you're going to cause a fire. And I was like, I don't get it.
You're going to burn all of California.
You know, I felt so bad after because I was like, I don't know. How am I supposed to know this? I'm not from here. What? Like,
well, I remember actually when I came out there one time, whenever you were already living there, you picked me up from the airport and I was trying to smoke in your car and like throw the cigarette out the window. And you were like, no, you can't do that. You have to put it out and put it in the door handle or something. I was like, you put old stinky cigarette butts in your door handle? Like, what the fuck are you guys doing out here?
I learned my lesson on that set because, like, I had, like, three people. Because I would just go off, like, to the side and be by myself. Like, no one bothered me. I'm just going to smoke. And then, like, four people would come up with a water bottle and, like, here, put it in here. If you're going to ash it, you need to ash it in here. There's all this, like, dry grass, it's gonna cause a forest fire. Okay.
Yeah, Ashlyn, you like love California so much.
Oh yes, yes. This is my home. I've wanted to be here majority of my life, and now I'm here, so I'm never leaving. I feel like you thrived when you were in New York.
I did. I wasn't having a good time when I lived out there because I got rid of my car when I moved to New York. And then I didn't have a car when I came back out to California and I was like Ubering everywhere. Now I don't think I would take an Uber for any reason after like people are getting murdered by creepy Uber drivers. And, you know, I was just reading a story yesterday where someone's a paraplegic now because they're suing Uber because their Uber driver like crashed the car and now they're a paraplegic. So I'm not fucking with Uber anymore.
I've been in some scary Ubers. I feel you.
Yeah, it was scary. Like when that was the only way I had to get around, I was always like, oh my God. Like I was the person doing the fake phone calls. Like, hey, honey, I'm almost home. Yeah, this is my boyfriend. Yeah, I'm going to be there in just a few minutes. Make sure you leave the light on.
You're here. I know you're there. You're going to be watching out the window for me, right? Okay, cool. Oh, I think I see you in the window.
Well, honey, when you joined the police force, you knew these long hours were a possibility.
Yes. So all that to say, it was a weird time when I was out there last. And then I started dating a guy and then like built my whole life around the relationship and relied on him for everything. And then when we broke up, I was horribly depressed. You remember that, Ashlyn?
I remember that. Yep.
Then I moved away shortly thereafter. I moved to Atlanta. And then now I'm back.
I remember after that relationship had ended, you were in my car and I was like, a song came on and I was like, oh my God, I love this song so much. And it was like about heartbreak. And you were like, why? Why are you playing this song? I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
It was really tough. The title of this podcast, Diaries of a Pretender, it's exactly that was like my idea, is that it doesn't matter like what your job is, whether it's something in the industry or whether it's something else, everybody literally doesn't know what they're doing. No, to put it properly, nobody knows what they're doing. And every person you encounter really is just faking it until they make it. And then even after they make it, they're still faking it. Like, there's no right way to do anything. Everybody's
got imposter syndrome. Like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And then it's like, what are you talking about? You're amazing. It's like, no, but
Know why actors make such great directors? Is because we see so many different directors do their job, and directors never see other directors do other directors' jobs. The directors have no idea what other directors do. None. Zero idea. They're just winging it. I have a friend, he's a producer for the Russo brothers. He's been a camera operator for like all the Fast and the Furious movies, all the Avengers movies. Like, this guy has been working for a long time. And I was talking to him about directing, and he's like, you know what? Every director asks me how other directors do their jobs. He's like, every single director. He's like, it doesn't matter if it's Steven Spielberg or one of the Russo brothers. They all ask me how other directors do their job. Like, nobody knows what they're doing in this business. Nobody. We're all just like artists, and we all just sling spaghetti at the wall, try to be specific with it, and hope people like it. That's how you direct.
That was such a good conversation. It just feels good to catch up with old friends sometimes, you know? Somebody that you shared an experience together with, whether it was being on American Horror Story together or going to college together or whatever it is. Just people who know you and that you haven't talked to. It just feels so good. Highly recommend it. The full video of this episode is available on my YouTube channel, and you can check out bonus clips from this episode only on Patreon. Join me over on Patreon to support the podcast and to find out what American Horror Story souvenir both Ashlyn and Jennifer got to keep that I didn't know about. Thanks for tuning in to this special episode of Diaries of a Pretender. Hang in there, and I'll see you next time.